Bulletproof?
Most assuredly.
Son of a bitch.
Nathan rested his long blaster across his shoulders.
Now where did he find one of those? Hell, where did he get any of his supplies?
Who cares?
Dean was holding his side to help ease a stitch from the long-distance running. The others had done this only once, but it was the second time for him.
Let him go! We won the fight!
But did we win the war?
Unknown. Ryan brushed the hair from his scarred face. The son of a bitch will only return with more troops. I've met his type before. They never stop until they're dead.
Any more horses?
Doc leaned against the brick wall.
Too weak.
Jack touched the man on the shoulder.
Shot.
Doc winced at the contact, but stayed firm.
Nonsense. That trifle will not even slow me.
Doesn't matter. He killed all of the horses in the stable, or at least badly wounded them.
Did Clem return with the truck?
Not through this locale. At least, not since I have been here.
Nathan grimaced.
We have several wags, but unfortunately they are at Oxbow, near the fuel dump. My sec chief wanted them away from Overton in case of emergencies, and I wasn't planning on leaving the Ville alive.
A good notion that just backfired on them. Ryan stepped farther into the tunnel, as if going to chase after the man on foot. There had to be something they could do. He couldn't let the Coldheart escape alive to strike at them again. This matter would never be over until one of them was buried in the dirt with his throat cut. Dean scratched his head in thought.
Hey, Dad? Weren't there some motorcycles in that garage?
The sun was creeping toward the horizon when a roaring sound filled the Ville courtyard. Ryan charged through the gatehouse tunnel, hunched low over the handlebars of a badly battered motorcycle. The windshield was gone, only jagged pieces of glass remaining to line the support bar like a wall of transparent daggers. The engine was discolored from the C4 blast, the frame shook at every bump, and blue smoke poured from the exhaust. But it did run, and this was the best of the three bikes from the garage. How Christie had survived the explosion he chalked up to sheer luck. By all accounts, she should have been blown to bits. Yet according to JB, she had never been in any real danger from the poison gas, since it was lighter than air. Maybe Overton had brought the stuff along to toss into the front door of the keep and have it waft up the stairs, clearing out Nathan's sec men if they had made a last stand there.
South!
Doc shouted at the top of his lungs as the motorcycle sped by at 40 miles per hour. Slowing to try to control the shakes caused by the irregular cobblestones, Ryan shot the man a puzzled glance, then nodded in understanding. Overton had been spotted by somebody. Good. Twisting the throttle on the handlebars, he gunned the 200cc engine to the max and roared off again, spewing oil and gas in his wake. Along with the assorted damage, the bike possessed a holster that was a perfect fit for an AK-47, so Ryan had one of the blasters tucked in there. But he had his Steyr and another Kalashnikov strapped across his back. It would be hours, if not more, before Nathan could get another motorcycle fixed, or have people run to Oxbow near the Sorrow River and drive back a wag. Ryan was alone on this chase, so he brought along every blaster he could carry. There was even a spare knife from Christie tucked into his boot, a 13-inch Parkerized blade, sharper than a lie from a friend. Even with the extra armament, Ryan knew he was at a serious disadvantage. The bike made a lot of noise, and the horse was comparatively quiet. But the bike had 10 times the speed, and hopefully that would make the difference. Roaring through the forest road, Ryan waited for a clear section of road and killed the engine. The soil crunched beneath his tires, the wind sighed past his ears, and the hot metal of the internal combustion engine ticked as it contracted. Ryan tried to hear beyond those noises, and distinctly heard a horse whinny in the distance. To his left? It sounded again. Yes, to his left. Twisting the handlebar throttle, Ryan restarted the engine and eased in the clutch, jumping forward with renewed speed. An unseen rain gully almost toppled him from his ungainly mount, but he fought the wobble in the bent frame, staying erect and moving. The road took a curve, and suddenly a fork was ahead of him. Ryan stopped the bike and killed the engine, trying not to breathe so he could hear. But nothing was discernible except the chirp of the cicadas in the tall weeds, an owl hooting, a cougar scream claiming the whole valley as its personal territory.
Come on, you bastard. Curse the horse.
Silence ruled the darkening Virginia forest, and the autumn sun was already touching the tall treetops. Squinting, Ryan studied the ground, but the light was waning. He dared not turn on the bike's headlight, if it still worked, as that would announce his presence more than the roar of the blasted engine. Unfortunately, a galloping horse and running men churned the dirt equally, so he glanced around for horse droppings or blood from Overton's wound. But there was nothing, not a clue. The right branch headed for Shuresville, the left roughly south toward the limestone hills of a pre-dark battlefield. There were caves, but those were the abode of a deadly group of blood-drinking muties. Much farther south, the road led straight to a glowing blast crater, one of the many misses from Skydark. The rad count was so high there that even driving by the glass-lined hole in a speeding wag gave a person a fatal dose of rad poisoning. Right was the logical choice, but would Overton go south exactly because it had no clear destination? The choice was 50-50. Time for a gamble. It took a few tries to restart the bike, and Ryan was dismayed to see how much fuel he had used in so short a trip. The ramshackle machine would be drained in another half hour. Charging up the right fork, Ryan pushed the motorcycle hard, watching the tachometer climb dangerously as he dodged rocks and potholes. The noise of the bike would give Overton a chance to get off the road and hide. Only speed would let him catch the man, but the faster he went, the more fuel he used. It was all a wild gamble at that point, so Ryan settled it, concentrating on keeping the rattling piece of junk from falling over as he sped through the growing twilight. Then it occurred to him that he wasn't being covert anymore. He could use the headlight to gain himself dozens of yards of visibility. He tapped the switch, and the big light flared on in supernatural brilliance, the beam a stark blue, illuminating the roadway ahead for a good 100 yards. Halogen lamps, he realized, his first lucky break. The speedometer climbed to the 50 mark and stayed in the vicinity, as the miles flew beneath the chattering two-wheeler. Ryan's suspicions grew, as did the distance, and finally he was forced to accept the fact that either Overton had outmaneuvered him or taken the other fork. Braking to a stop as quickly as possible, Ryan dragged the rear wheel about in a fast turn and started back down the road at breakneck speed. Zooming past the fork, he reached a flat section of ground and opened the throttle completely. The hungry engine thundered between his thighs, making his bones throb. The needle on the gas gauge was dropping visibly, the engine temperature at redline, ready to blow. Ryan was going 70 when he spotted the galloping horse. Coaxing a few extra miles per hour from the struggling machine, he roared past the racing animal, leaving a contrail of blue smoke in his wake. The horse screamed in terror and reared on its hind legs, toppling and crashing to the ground. Breaking to a shuddering halt, Ryan wheeled about and returned much slower, the silenced Sig Sauer tight in his grip. The animal galloped into the bushes at his approach, tripping on fallen trees in its haste to get away. Instantly, Ryan knew Overton was nowhere nearby. The man had killed other horses in front of this one, so the animal wouldn't be running toward the murderer. Horses were extremely smart and very proud. They remembered riders by their smells and faces, and they recalled every indignity they suffered. If Overton was in the area, the animal would have a definite direction it would run from. This was merely chaotic charging. The would-be Baron had to have abandoned the animal earlier down the road and gone into the woods. Breathing heavily, his legs almost burning from the awful heat of the bike, Ryan tried to guess when the cold heart first set the animal loose. He guessed the timing at a mile, but Overton had to have jumped off as soon as he heard the bike, so say another quarter to a half mile before that. Fire blast. That's a lot of ground to cover. Ryan angrily wiped the sweat off his face with a sleeve. This job was fast becoming impossible. Now he was guessing on top of guesses. Returning the way he had come, Ryan counted off a mile, then chose a point one-third of a mile beyond. When in doubt, go for the middle, as the trader used to say. That always gave you some leeway in case of a miss. Kicking down the stand, Ryan throttled the engine to an irregular idle, with the brilliant headlight washing the roadway and into the trees. Crossing to the other side in the shadow of the beam, Ryan walked slowly, looking for any indication of where Overton might have jumped off. The Deathlands warrior knew that time was against him, but it was his only chance. At dawn, Ryan could come back with 100 sec men from Front Royal and sweep this area of the forest. However, Overton would be long gone by then. There had been hardtack and blankets in the stable for Vil's sec men to take with them on long rides, but Overton hadn't grabbed any, even though the grub was in plain sight. Blaster in hand, Ryan proceeded along the dim shoulder of the roadway. Total darkness.